This is Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. How many times have you had that exasperating conversation with a know-it-all? You know, someone who thinks they know everything about everything. Aren't you tempted to just make something up and see if they claim, oh yeah, I knew that? Well, a few years ago, the late night show, Jimmy Kimmel Live, did just that. They sent a camera crew to a music festival for this segment called Lie Witness News. And the crew asked attendees whether they liked bands that don't actually exist.
Have you heard of Shorty Jizzle and the Plumber Crags?
Yep.
What do you like about them? Like how raw they are?
Yeah, they're really unique, for sure.
They feel a little bit like a combination between like Bob Dylan and like a polka band.
Yeah.
Are you guys as excited as I am about the obesity epidemic?
I just like their whole style, like their whole genre is just great. They're kind of like very like innovative and they're new.
You know, claiming you know something that you don't is so universal that researchers at Cornell University set out to study the phenomena and documented how self-described experts don't always know exactly what they're talking about. Joining me now to discuss the results of their research and in an informal quiz we came up with at Science Friday, and we posted it on our website, is David Dunning. He's a professor of psychology at Cornell University and Stav Autir. He's also from Cornell, where she is a PhD, in psychology. Welcome to our program.
Thank you.
Stav, are people who consider themselves experts more likely to pretend to know things that they don't?
Exactly. So basically, we give the people the opportunity to engage in what we call overclaiming, which is to claim to know more than you actually do, to the point of claiming knowledge of things that don't really exist. And what we find is that when we give people this opportunity in different topics, they don't overclaim knowledge equally about all the topics. And one of the factors that determines what they're going to overclaim more about is their self-perception of their knowledge in the topic. So if I view myself as an expert in biology, then I'm going to be more likely to overclaim knowledge about made-up biology terms.
Hmm. David, you tested this out on people. What kinds of tests did you do as a part of the study?
Well, what we would do is we'd give people lists of concepts or items or places or people associated with a lot of topics like philosophy or geography or biology or politics. And most of the items were real, but there were always some items that we had made up in the office or we knew that other researchers had made up. So we knew that these things no one could know anything about because they simply do not exist. And we just tallied. When people said, yep, I have some familiarity with X, when X was unreal.
So people still claim to know fake terms even when you told them that some of the terms were phony?
That's right. In one of the studies, we warn people ahead of time. We tell them some of these concepts, terms, people that you're going to read about are made up. So go ahead and tell us which ones you're familiar with or which ones you know something about. And we essentially still get the same result. I mean, the rate of overclaiming does come down, but we still find this relationship where when people feel that they're knowledgeable about a topic, they're more likely to overclaim.
Hmm. In fact, we tested this out ourselves. We created our own quiz at Science Friday to do an informal test, a non-scientific test of your findings. And we over 1,000 people took the test on our website. And first, we asked people to rate how knowledgeable they considered themselves to be on generic scientific topics. And they could rate themselves from I don't know anything to very knowledgeable. And then we gave them a list of 15 scientific concepts and asked them to select all of the ones that they were familiar with. But here's the thing. 4 of them were fake, like the Einstein-Feynman theorem and the fluidic threshold. And if you want to see the quiz, which is still up on our website, but it's closed now, you can look at it by visiting sciencefriday.com/knowitall. Stav and David, you had a chance to look at the results. Did we replicate your central findings?
You did, which is always fantastic to see a result replicated outside of our lab. But yeah, so if we look at the different self-rated groups, if we look at the group that rated itself lowest on scientific knowledge, exactly 0% overclaimed at all. And if you look at the highest self-rated knowledge group, over a quarter of participants or of quiz takers claim to have some knowledge of your mm-hmm. made-up scientific terms.
Which we have to admit we're impressed by, because you actually gave people a hard test. And for the real items, people claim to be familiar with them only 36% of the time. So people were very conservative in what they admitted they knew about. But even with that, they were admitting to know about things they could not possibly know about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we actually combine a lot of the names of our staff members together to make a theorem or something, and they were very convincing. Was it too hard, do you think, staff? For
well, we've actually run a series of studies with our co-author on this paper, Emily Rosenzweig, where we find with her that the items that surround the made-up items influence the rate of overclaiming. So if you surround these foils, these made up terms or concepts, by really unfamiliar ones that people don't mm-hmm. generally know, that brings the rate of overclaiming down. Nice. If you give them really easy items, then that brings overclaiming up.
844-724-8255 is our number. You can also tweet us at SciFry if you want to talk about this. We have a tweet out there that shows you the listing. It's up on our website, but also there's a tweet we just sent out showing you the names that were not true, like the fluidic threshold, Laibach's law, named after Julie Laibach, our web manager. Let me see if we have any tweets coming in. Let me ask you this question. I'll ask both of you, but let me ask David first. Why do people feel like they have to do this? You know, why do they feel like they have to be Miss or Mr. Know-It-All?
Well, there are a number of reasons that sort of converge toward this overclaiming. Part of it is self-presentation, like you'll see that in the Jimmy Kimmel example, that a TV reporter comes up to you. You'd be hard-pressed to say, I don't know. That'd be a little bit of an embarrassment. Part of it is just also the logic of conversation. If a person asks you a question, it's just a presumption that you know the answer, and you act on that presumption. And what our research adds is if you strip away the logic of conversation, if you strip away the self-presentation concerns, you still have tricks of the brain, if you will, going on that cause people to believe that they recognize things that they can't possibly recognize. One way we talk about it is we really don't know what we know, and we really don't know what we don't know. We have to guess whether we know something. We have to infer. We have to surmise whether this mm-hmm. is something we're really familiar with or not. So what people are doing is they're just going through that guesswork, and sometimes that guesswork misfires.
Let's go to the phones. Stuart in Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin. Hi, Stuart.
Hi. I was wondering if this overclaiming strictly refers to the general public or if it can extend into the dangerous area of academia as well.
I'm sure there's a lot of overclaiming that goes on in academia. But that is a kind of where we're going next with this research. So far we've talked about how people view themselves. Do they think of themselves as knowledgeable about a topic or not? And our next area of research is, what about people who actually do know more or less? Will that also predict overclaiming in the same way? Do people who really are experts really have more knowledge? Mm-hmm. Will they be better able to differentiate what they know or what they don't know? Or will they show the same pattern of overclaiming more?
Well, I have one last question, and that is the political season. I mean, is it even fair to ask whether politicians are overclaiming or not?
Well, I think no one is immune. And everybody on the spot is going to make mistakes. So I wouldn't doubt that we're going to see a lot of overclaiming in this political season. But quite frankly, it's possible to overclaim in a lot of different areas. So it's not a surprise that those in the public eye are going to make some claims that they wish they could take back.
Hmm. And we all do it, is what you're saying, more or less.
Yes.
Yes.
Sooner or later, we all do it.
Yeah. All right. Do you remember that famous John Lovitz character where he made all that stuff up? You know, it was kind of interesting. Thank you both for taking time to be with us today. David Dunning, professor of psychology at Cornell, and Stav Atir, who is also from Cornell University, where she is a PhD candidate in psychology.